Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, so today is Sunday, February 5th, 2023. And today we're going to talk about a recent message that Brother Mauricio gave about a week ago. So not yesterday, but the last Saturday class, and he gave it in Portuguese. And it was not translated by Brother Jose, but I captured it with the Google Translate on my phone and then copied and sent it out. So it's a really rough translation. So we don't know exactly what he said, but we can kind of get the gist if we put a few pieces together. And that's, I think, what everyone's done. We've all kind of read through it and kind of pieced our own ideas of what the message is about. And so, Jeannie thought it'd be great if we discussed it. And I think that's a great idea too, because it's on my mind. You know, the words that he said are on my mind. And one thing he talked about was social media and spreading the gospel through social media. And so I know that we have two social media warriors in our midst today. One, I believe, is Renee, and the other one is Darren. And I didn't dare ask Darren to join us this morning because it's so early for him. And so, but I asked Renee, I'm like, do you want to come join? Because Renee's got a lot of great ideas and a lot of experience with social media. So I invited Renee, and I'm so glad you're here, Darren, even though I didn't dare to ask you. So, anyways, not that this message all talks about social media. It's a lot about missionary work. And so I thought we would read through a few paragraphs or sentences as best as we could to just kind of get the feel of it. And then I just want to just let's talk about it. Let's see if you have ideas, things that have come to your mind, even as we read it today. What I'm really hoping for in this discussion is for each of us to get some sort of prompting from the Holy Spirit, something that we need to do personally. You know, what does Lisa need to do next? What does Jeannie need to do? Russell, Brian, Darren, Renee, Steve, what's our next step regarding this message that we got from the prophet? And so, just be kind of thinking about that and just try to have that spirit and be guided. And maybe somebody will say something, you'll be like, okay, I can do that. Or I don't know, you're going to get a spark, I feel. So, okay. So to the message, Brother Mauricio, it's kind of, like I said, it's really rough. But he talks about the early days of the Restoration Church, like in the time of Joseph Smith Jr. And he says, the whole church itself was a big hive of missionaries. And these aren't really paragraphs, but they're kind of split up in paragraphs. But he says, all the members, wherever they were from, whatever age they were, children, young adults, or seniors, they thought they had received more than a divine something when called upon to spread the truth of the Book of Mormon. But they felt they were privileged, but a significant part of human history on earth. Now, I should have numbered these, but I just kind of sent it out real quick. But that was the second. Russell, you had something to say? Oh, you're muted. Sorry.
On that first paragraph, can you tell me what that means? The 110 verse 3. Where's that referring to? Do you know?
I don't. That's just where the Google
Okay.
started. So I don't
Okay.
really know. And I didn't even look it up. Like I didn't try to see if it was in Psalms or, you know,
Okay.
or Doctrine of Covenants, or I didn't actually even look that up. Sorry.
I
I'm
think
sorry.
it's possible, and I'm not sure, but I'm looking at this. If it's possible, it could be from the words of Moroni. Have to look it up though, there's
Well,
another one we could throw in there.
okay. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. I should have
Not from the sealed book, but the other words of Moroni.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that one, I have that in front of me, the instructions. I don't know if it goes. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Maybe someone can do their homework and let us know next week where that comes from. Actually, Russell's probably doing his homework right now. He's yeah. like, I'm going to figure this out. Okay. Okay, so basically we, back then, they were all about the missionary work, spreading the gospel.
Yeah, I think it's Psalms. I think this is the verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth, or something like that. I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, and it does talk about in that next paragraph about all the children, young adults, seniors, that they were privileged. And I don't know, do you guys feel privileged to have the sealed book in your life right now? I do. I feel very privileged. So I can relate to that. But then what am I doing? I'm like totally slack in this area. So I'm really excited to be inspired by some of you who are doing a lot more. I know Russell does a lot with, recording and having his website and getting the word out, too. I don't mean to just, you know, Russell, you're doing great too. I know you're feel inspired. So what are we inspired to do? Let's get down to the fourth little section, the historical records of 19th century. Does anyone kind of want to muddle their way through that paragraph-ish?
I can do that.
Okay, Jeannie, go ahead.
Okay. The historical records of 19th century church periodicals are evidence that they undertook the task of taking this message to all men as seriously as they literally made it a part of their daily lives by making Book of Mormon evangelism a foundation, all the more important as it was for a Presbyterian or the Baptist to share the message of the Bible with his kin neighbors.
Thank you.
We're like being told that not only are we supposed to share, but it equates us into the same thing as Baptists, Presbyterians, and I imagine other religions who had been established a lot longer than ours had, and they were preaching the gospel to people.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, and we know, especially with Joseph Smith, they were in a time of revival, right? There was a lot mm-hmm. going on. A lot of religion was a hot topic right. back then. So,
can I say something?
Please.
So this is the times and seasons. And there's some people, they don't believe in the sealed book, but they still, they did this tremendous job of going to Nauvoo, the library there, and photocopying all the times and seasons. So it's not their interpretation of it exactly what was there. And I was going through these the other day. This is a periodical. So this is one of the things it's referring to. And I was reading these messages. Joseph Smith Jr. writes in here, Parley P. Pratt, and, you know, just everybody we've always heard of in church history. In the first part, they're writing these articles. And as I'm reading it, I'm like identifying with them because we have the Herald of the Second Invitation. And just like we publish it, and right now there may not be very many people that are reading it, and there are a lot of people who are laughing at us or looking down on us or not understanding us, misunderstanding us. As we bring this message of the sealed book, you know, when we read the times and seasons, we read it with awe, you know, oh, that's what, you know, Parley P. Pratt said, or John Taylor, or, you know, Brigham Young or Joseph Smith Jr. back in those days when they were all working together. And we don't realize they were struggling back then to bring this message out. they were being fought against. They were being persecuted. They were being cast out of their cities. In Missouri, the governor was sent out this extermination order, and the saints were running with their little children barefoot in the snow out of here. And there's all kinds of things in these periodicals we can read today and look at it. And it's kind of humbling because, you know, we haven't had any extermination orders against us. Sometimes it's hard when people are making fun of us, or, you know, we've got internet trolls trying to get under our skin or whatever. But it is like nowhere near what they went through. And there weren't millions and millions of Latter-day Saints back in that day. There was only a few of them, just like there's only a few of us. And Mauricio, he goes through a lot of the same things Joseph Smith Jr. did. And, but they kept it up. And guess what? Now, almost 200 years later, we all have these stories and we have the opportunity to go back and look at it. 200 years from now, the same thing's going to be happening with some of our social media, with the Herald of the Second Invitation, with some of the classes that are presented, with your videos on the secondinvitation.org. And to me, that is super humbling and exciting. And we do need to be careful. Like, okay, for instance, I said, maybe that was from the words of Moroni, and Russell, you know, he went and looked up what it was. That's good. You know, things like that can happen, and it needs to happen, especially if I make a mistake that somebody needs to correct. Go ahead and please correct me, because I don't want to spread false information. This is going to live on for hundreds of years. And what we do on social media is important. And I want to say too that it can be just as easy as simply sharing the things that they're doing on their YouTube channel in Brazil with some of the speeches, or Mauricio's posts. If you see things that just people post that you resonate with, that are just members, you know, we don't always have to think of our own things to put up there. So,
right.
Sorry, sometimes I talk too much. So I will turn off the mic now.
Thank you, Renee. I love that. It's a good reminder that these periodicals and the things that we're writing, it's going to be part of history. It is making history right now. I want to welcome Brother Bill. Glad you could be here today. Thanks for coming. Okay.
I want to just mention that Times and Season is available online too. You can read it all there.
Okay, good. So that's awesome.
Sorry, I'm late. It's 8 o'clock is a little tough for us Oregonians.
Excuses. You should ask the McClellans what time it is their time. It's like 3 a.m.
Ouch.
Ouch. I'm teasing you, Bill. I'm glad you're here. Okay. So I'm going to skip over the next paragraph, and then it starts to get a little juicy. I'm just going to read this one. Because those first witnesses of the prophet Joseph Smith and the truth of the Book of Mormon willingly, I think this is an important word I circled, willingly made themselves available to serve the call of God to preach this good news to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And he says a similar spirit should prevail among us, the Mormons of the Second Invitation. We need to be willing. And honestly, like, it's probably a heck of a lot easier for us, because we have so many modern conveniences, you know. They had to leave and walk and go door to door, but we have cars and we have social media and a lot of different ways to spread the word. Okay. And then On the next paragraph, the time has come for every member to be a missionary. And then he talks, I don't know if it's specifically to the apostles, but I'm going to keep going there. And each apostle be an example of this for each member of this second call. Nevertheless, what happened after this meeting, well, he's talking about the November 2022 conference, okay? But he says, after this meeting was the opposite of some of the apostles themselves leaving the plow aside and disappearing from social networks. Okay, so some of the apostles who maybe were active on social media set it down. And why? It's because he says in the next, says mainly with regard to the subject related to the revelation of April 2022 on homosexuality, as if they were ashamed to admit that God opened the shackles of prejudice that changed our brothers in the LGBT community for a long time in relation to the sublime love of God for all his sons and daughters, that he was never a respecter of persons. So some, I don't know the history. I don't really understand, you know, all that, but I'm guessing that, people were ashamed about what was being come out. And so we need to be careful that we're not ashamed. But I was talking to Renee yesterday and she says, well, if we want to post on social media and we don't agree with something that is said, we can leave that out. You know, don't just stop altogether. Just kind of, if we don't resonate with it, don't post it. But if we do, do. And I think I'll take this time to read. Renee reminded me that in the instructions of Moroni, it talks about social media as well. And I'm a little unclear if it's for everyone or just apostles, you know, or if this mandate or whatever, but it's actually going to be in verse 38. I don't know that everyone has the instructions of Moroni, but I'll go ahead and read a little bit out of verse 8. Okay, so well, 37. Well, anyways, it talks a lot about the apostles and going out and spreading the word, but 38, I'll just read it, I guess. If, on the other hand, they answer my call, then it is necessary to obtain a collection of monthly values among those who are willing to assist the preaching work in Brazil. I'm thinking that's tithing. Having as each has resolved in his own heart, dedicated to that cause a part of everything he produces, so that your families have enough, so that you can carry out your ministry. And I think these are the missionaries. Initially, 8 of you must be selected through my servant, Mauricio Arterberger, being active in the mission field, going 2 by 2, as I instructed you before. And this is where it says, and having a permanent activity in what you called social networks. So a permanent activity. And so these missionaries dropped the ball, perhaps. Remember, however, that this is a collection for my work, and in view that I shall not accept anything from their hands that is not of goodwill, which are the first fruits of their hearts, whereby you can be sure about my promise concerning one who gives me back without resentment a small part of everything I have provided him with, which I think is again tithing or something like tithing. If social networks are important to Moroni, they probably should be important to us, whether we are part of those original 8 missionaries or not. And I think that's kind of what Mauricio Berger was mentioning. Okay, so just a few more thoughts from this article, and then we're going to open it up for discussion and throw out some ideas and things like that. So I really, really love this next paragraph that it starts again, Mormon exhortations, but we can actually come over to the top of that line or where it says, come back, go back to the field. Can I get someone to read the rest of that whole paragraph? Where it says, come back, go back to the field. Anyone have that?
I can read it.
Okay, Renee, thank you.
Okay. Come back, go back to the field. Put on your armor. Be sober, active warriors. Bold and constant, valiant. Be faithful and true witnesses of the work that God is doing with the revelation given to you with the translation of the sealed book of the Plates of Mormon, so that they are worthy to receive the second part that has yet to be revealed. Advance, proceed with this love in the fight until every vestige of Babylon is devastated. Proclaim the message to all parts of the earth. The world needs to know what Jesus is doing among the children of men at this very moment in our human history on earth. This is without a doubt a day to announce the good will of the Lord.
Thank you. So some of the keywords I picked out from there is advance, proceed with his love, proclaim the message. These are all action words that Mauricio is speaking to all of us. And he says, this is for everyone. Everyone who's here today, everyone who's listening to my word, this is for us. It's a day, without a doubt, a day to announce the goodwill of the Lord. Okay. And then I thought we could just keep the last three are excellent as well. Maybe not the best. Does anyone else have it in front of them would like to read starting in there was this one?
I can read it.
Awesome. Thanks, Russell.
There was this one that is of great importance to all of us who have been called for this for the last time to get their church out of obscurity of the land of darkness. In view of this, I would like to add all that the prophets have already said about our day, that if we leave aside the preaching of the sealed book and the current revelations that come to us at all times, one of will support our religion. We will have nothing and we will be nothing. Beyond that, we will still be denying our earthly brothers the possibilities they have, the most sublime knowledge of all which God in his infinite wisdom foreordained to be sealed and hidden in plates of gold to be revealed to us, poor mortals of the 21st century.
All right. And that last line?
You are God's publicity agents. What will you do to let the world know about it? Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. So we are the publicity agents. What are we going to do about that? Renee is laughing. All right, Renee, why are you laughing?
Well, I just love the way that he put that, you know, and also the comparison to the hive, like, the hive, you got to remember, is a central place. The bees go out, they gather the nectar, they bring it back to the hive. They're not going out all over the place and then going to their own little home they have somewhere else. It is a unified effort in the hive. And so, like when I was talking to you yesterday, you just brought up the fact that I said, if you aren't comfortable with something, you don't resonate it, then don't repost it. I want people to understand that I don't mean just go on, you know, in the traditional way you're currently thinking that makes you not resonate it, but with it, but pray about it first. You know, you're not ready to post it yet, but at least pray about what the prophet Mauricio Berger is saying, or someone in the first presidency. Pray about it, but do, you know, go ahead and put that aside until you're ready, if you ever are. But don't, like Steve likes to say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Then if you see one thing you don't agree with, don't just stop posting on social media, which is, I guess, what some of the apostles were doing. At least it sounded like that from the thing. I don't know. I don't have insider information, so I don't know. But anyway, that's kind of why I was just laughing, because it's complicated. It can get complicated, the whole thing. It's not a simple thing.
No.
So I'll,
we can do hard things, though. We do hard things.
Russell's website, when you already have an established website and you already have a big following of people, and then you begin to post things about the sealed book sometimes too, to me, that's like one of the best ways of getting the word out there. You're already well known. And that to me is social media in a way, although it's a website, it fits into the category, because you are putting yourself out there and spreading the news in the same type of manner, in a way, especially if people can make comments by emailing you later, walking up to you. That's a social thing. Just like our meetings, whether they go on the internet or not, are still a social thing. It's just not a media if it's in person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to mute my mic.
I should mention that my site doesn't get that big a coverage, I don't think. I mean, I get a report of the visitors and so forth, but it doesn't seem to be a real big presence. But it is worldwide. I'm amazed. I get stuff from all over the world.
It's a bigger presence than what you realize. Yeah. And so there's people who never comment and who never, but they are at home thinking about the things that you say and write. And they may be, you know, talking to other people about it, and you may never know, but it's bigger than what you realize.
Yeah.
So what are some of the social media networks that are possibilities for us? Like if you aren't active on one right now and you might want to take this to heart and become active on a social media, what are some of the social medias that are out there? We could talk about some of the different ones. Like I'm not really a follower of Facebook so much anymore, but I like Instagram. So that's one way. Instagram is one way. It has its limitations because you can't link to anything. And there's no copy and paste. So it's not even like you can put a link in there and people can easily get to it, something. But that's one. Anyone else want to say?
I'll just throw in there that Facebook and YouTube are ones that they've used in Brazil to put out official stuff. So it'd be great if we could all keep track of that, even if we don't like Facebook and YouTube. Okay. I like YouTube better.
Yeah. So YouTube, if you like to talk, like Renee was saying yesterday, if you like to talk, then YouTube is a good way. You could have a channel where you talk about the things that you're learning, or link to other YouTube, to the Second Invitation YouTube page.
Well, something that people don't realize about YouTube is, like you said, you can have a channel and not post anything, but you can make, when you have a channel, you can make comments. You can go on and make comments on other YouTube channels. If it's relevant information that you're like, hey, this is a group of people that could know about the sealed book. Well, if you have a YouTube channel, you might be able to make some sort of a comment that could direct people to that. Like, have you heard of the Prophet Mauricio Berger in Brazil? Or Have you heard about the fact that some people have seen the plates of Mormon in our day or whatever? And people start conversations on YouTube, on the big channels, right? A lot of us are just getting started with YouTube and we may not have a big community, but it could develop into that. For, I know Brother Darren has a YouTube channel. I think YouTube is great and that could be developed further. And Facebook is definitely something we could be utilizing.
Thank you.
When there's Twitter, I don't do Twitter, but that's one of them if people are comfortable with it.
Twitter. I know that the app we used last night, the Discord app, is a form of social media too. I know it's really more popular with the younger generation, but that's another option. I don't know exactly how it works, but...
In Brazil, they use WhatsApp for all kinds of stuff. And
okay,
we don't really do that here, but I think in other areas of the world, they use WhatsApp a lot.
Okay. So
there's things in WhatsApp that are cool because you can do videos and you can send documents like in maybe larger megabyte files than you could do in other places. Mm-hmm. You can have a number out there where people can join and just ask questions. They're not a part of our group, but they want to ask questions. You can do that on WhatsApp. If you're willing to put your phone number out there publicly, because basically it's your phone number.
True.
But the missionaries in Brazil, I believe they have a WhatsApp group that people can go and ask questions about. And I've wondered, it's in Portuguese, you know, so I've wondered sometimes if we should get involved in that or not. Since we speak English, it's more difficult for us. And so I haven't myself gotten involved in that WhatsApp group. But I wonder if we should, you know.
Yes.
I raised the question to Mauricio last year about the fact that there's two WhatsApp groups I'm part of, and they both send the same messages, and they're in English and Portuguese. There should be just an English WhatsApp group. And in fact, another thing that is kind of bothering me a little bit is if we want to increase our missionary efforts, it seems like there should be a way to invite people to a English-speaking meeting. We have these meetings on Saturday that try to combine the Portuguese and English, and it doesn't become very good for either participants. I mean, yesterday was mainly Portuguese, which I think that's a good for the Portuguese people, and we can kind of stumble along, but it's reading things in English that could just as well be, we could be having an English meeting. It seems like we're not really supporting our missionary efforts very good to try to have everything be done at one place.
I think he was told by one of the angels that he's supposed to be teaching the same thing. Everybody is supposed to be taught the same things. And that right now they're trying to work out ways to make it. And it's difficult right now. It's difficult for understanding in the English language and the trying new things, sometimes it doesn't work out, but I think that might be why.
Yeah, probably so. But we could all be taught the same things by those things being translated in the language, whether it's French or Spanish or English. It needs to advance into more languages than just a combined Portuguese-English.
I wish that we were as big as like the LDS church or even the RLDS church, where we had as many talented and skilled people with as much time in the day, you know, to get those things done. But I know they've got just maybe a couple of people working on that. The translating, there aren't very many people who speak both languages at all. And then the ones that do aren't necessarily incredibly fluent. Some of them are pretty fluent, but they have heavy accents and it makes it difficult for us. But and they're overloaded. They are really overloaded. So,
but they don't have to do it. It's easy to translate a Portuguese document into English. There's lots of good tools for doing that. If we at least get a Portuguese document.
I think they've been sending documents before the classes. And I had an idea about that. Not that we would understand everything that said, but they send them on WhatsApp that when we read them ahead of time, that we develop, because we don't participate much on the English side because it's so hard for us to understand. Like, you're hearing something in Portuguese and you're hearing something in English at the same time, or the English translation is pretty condensed of what you're actually hearing. But I feel like we could maybe participate by coming up with our questions from the documents they send us ahead of time, like read the document and then type up a question for them ahead of time in both Portuguese and English and send it. So, because sometimes I think they think we're not interested because we don't make comments, but they have no idea how difficult it is for us to understand anything, and that it's it really extremely difficult to try to sort through it all.
It makes it hard for anybody to bring anybody new. But Steve, maybe you can comment on this, whether or not the First Presidency considers the possibility of open English to be a way to communicate, have the whole meeting in English and so forth.
Well, you're preaching to the choir there. I don't know how many different ways I've tried to express what I've considered to be a need, particularly with the conferences and having it live on the spot with the translation devices so that you got it no matter where you came from, English or Portuguese. And it's like Renee's saying, the people that are there that are instrumental in putting these things together and keeping them current have seven jobs each. And it keeps flooding in and they're trying to deal with it. And little by little, they're making headway. And this year at the conference, they're going to have the individual translation devices that were brought down there. And they're going to be setting up a translator booth up front. And they're doing the things that are taking the step of improvement as we go. In answer to your question about having an English session, I agree with you 100%. It makes missionary effort so much easier if we're talking without having to go through translations. But what Brother or Sister Renee said about revelations, about how to do the missionary work and to do these things, about teaching the same things at the same time. I think that's been a constant with Brother Mauricio. I don't know all the details of that, but I know that that is heavily weighing on him about moving the church as one instead of having something over here that may get off on a tangent. I can understand the reason for that. I don't know that we all have all the good answers, but the Lord has been providing things here and there so that it is progressing. It's just that, you know, if you're like me, I want it and I want it now. And I don't always get it that way and say the Lord's will's at work and I just need to sit for a minute and let it take place. I don't know that I answered much, but it has been a constant topic and it continues to be. And I don't think it will, until it's resolved, it's not going to take much of a back seat. It's important to us. And it's like she was saying, you know, we keep quiet. We don't understand what they're saying at the time these things are going on. It's not because we're not interested. It's we don't know what they're saying and what, how do I participate in that? So, yeah, we're in a conversation that we need to be in right here, right now. And I think that as it grows and we continue to have this kind of interest, it will grow into a completion where it works pretty well. I just don't know the answers to all that. And I'm not sure Brother Mauricio does either at this point. He's working at it. And I'm going to turn off mine, too. I don't know much more.
All right. Darren, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say yesterday was extremely hard for us, and we find it a little bit more difficult than others. And Mum, I know, struggled the other day with the Fountain of Living Waters. She doesn't hear very well. And when the translations are done by someone that does it, she can't understand them either. So it has been hard for us. And yesterday we couldn't download that Discord app. I think I mentioned on an email to you. And I was using Google Translate and it was freezing and going forward and we weren't getting much out of it. And the previous meeting where, you know, you got the stuff from Mauricio, we didn't know anything about it. So we're very limited on what we hear over here in Australia. And we're struggling, but we're.
I think the good spirit sort of covers some of that. We get the feeling, as I have always in my life been moved by the spirit and recognize that God is leading this way, or, you know, giving me sort of the feelings to do this or to do that. It is limiting when you've got, you know, the English. I read in the scriptures, though, of a pure language, and I'm wondering one day whether that might be part of the answer. but the feelings, but we share those feelings of joy and love toward each other. And sometimes that overflows. But certainly all my life, you know, the Holy Spirit, especially with the Book of Mormon. Wow, I mean, I've been reading at times, this is, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and I was almost transported with the writer, you know, with King Benjamin and all the others that are significant in their ministry, Alma. You know, it was just something that the Holy Spirit moved me, and wow, I am just sort of still bubbling over with how can I put that to work in my life. And I realize that, you know, I look ahead now, I'm in my 83rd year. It hasn't diminished, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that's why you know, I joy so much to join with you folks, and I wish it could be more, our limitations.
Isolated.
Yeah, we are a little, but then, you know, it's just, I guess it's something personal with each other. We all react differently, but we're connected to something really special and really powerful. We just struggle to express that in what we do each day, but I still try, even at my age, to, you know, to, if I see something that I can do to might improve a situation, that's just the Spirit of the Lord moving, and if that happens to all of us, wow, we would really be, you know, maybe on the headlines in the news, I don't know, but it's good anyway, and that's why I joy to join with you folks, and you know, also with the independence and perhaps as many others as we could, but that's anyway, I'll perhaps only set a part of what I feel.
And another thing I'd like to mention too, when the things are posted on Facebook or whatever, the translation that they use isn't very good. And I think we all need to read that before we post them on our pages, because it throws people off. Even on scripture, I noticed the other day it said something by hair at the end or something. And I thought, what's that got to do with, you know, the seal book or whatever? But I think someone needs to, proofread or something, before they're posted, because it makes us look a little bit like fools if we're posting something that doesn't make sense when we're doing it on our page, and it's got to be pretty good, you know, what we put on. So, I just thought I'd mention that.
I agree. And I've offered to work on that very issue of having things in the English sometimes, for instance, where the English scriptures are quoted and yet they don't match our English scriptures or the other things that we need to clean it up. And yet I want to help, but they won't let me help. And so I've got time. I can do it. I've got another question. In this message, it talks about the revelation of April 2022 on homosexuality. I've got a lot of revelations, but I can't seem to find that one. Does somebody have that?
I think that's just talking about the revelation that talks about the outcast that will be coming to us.
Steve, but I don't have.
It doesn't say homosexual in the revelation, but sure. Mauricio has said it is referring to the LGBT community.
I just don't have a revelation for April of 2022. I can't seem to find it either.
I think it was handed out in the format of a herald, not online. So I might have it and I can find it and send it to you.
All right. I can try to look through herald and stuff as well, I guess.
Well, it's not online though.
Yeah.
Oh, not in line herald. Okay.
It was just handed out at the conference.
Okay.
So I'll try to find it. I think Brother Bob has. I'm sure Brother Bob has it. He can send it. But I'll try to find it in my mess of things I have.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you. Janie, did you have a comment earlier? Or is that?
I was going to bring a different idea out on the paragraph there that's talking about the homosexuality. And I will just do it at another time. We don't have time to bring it forward, but I think there's another message that we can get from this talk as to what we can share with people, even though our own understanding or our own belief system finds it odd to discuss some of these topics. So I think I'll just bring that out at another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, maybe just the last, if we could take another 5 minutes or so and talk about, let's see, maybe just share, maybe, I don't know if Darren or Renee could share just a couple experiences they've had working with social media on Facebook, or maybe some cautions or do's and don'ts that they have had in their experience with their postings on Facebook.
Can I, I'd like to read a scripture real quick.
Okay, great.
That I think is really relevant.
Thank you.
So it's regarding the sons of Mosiah and Ammon. And Ammon was excited about how many people they converted. And one of the sons of Mosiah told him, "You're bragging, you know."
Yeah.
And he said, no, he was giving God the glory. But these verses right here, I think if we take these to heart, we can recognize what could be happening. It says, "Yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing." So while we're posting on social media and in our daily lives, but including if we're posting, pray about it. Before you post, pray about it. Unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God. So there's a promise. Yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which never have been revealed. There's another promise. So that's for people who repent, exercise faith, and bring forth good works and prayeth continually. And then it says, yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as it has been given unto us to bring these our brethren to repentance. So if we're bringing forth good works by posting about the sealed book on social media, and in spite of all the things that there's people who will protest. That I have been called names many times. There's people who make fun sometimes of the things that I post, whether it's from Mauricio or it was John Pratt or something that I myself wrote. Still, this is nothing compared to what Ammon and the Sons of Mosiah went through, as the Sons of Mosiah were thrown in prisons and beaten and starved. And but look at what happened with Alma. So if God, you know, may allow some people to be challenged and made fun of and persecuted, and he may have somebody over here, though, that he has blessed with this ability to be in touch with someone important that's going to make a difference, like King Lamoni, that we don't know how it's going to work out. All we know is that we're out there doing our job, and at all hazards, we can prove to the Lord we're willing to do that. At some point, maybe we can be wrapped in the power and glory of our Maker and be caught up to dwell with him, like Joseph Smith Jr. told us in church history, of when we show God we're willing to serve him at all hazards. So just a word of encouragement from voices from the dust. But if when you do run across people who are nothing but negative, and it's obvious they're not willing to learn and all they want to do is destroy the work, you can block those people. And I've blocked a lot of people, and you can hide their comment. There's a place on Facebook where you can click the three dots and you can hide the comments. So the only people that see their rude comment are their own friends. And your friends aren't going to see the comments. So there's ways. So like, if you want to do something on Facebook or YouTube or some other social media, and you think, man, I wish I could do this, do a Google search and say, can I block, or can't, if somebody posts comments I don't like on YouTube, what can I do? Because Facebook doesn't tell you what to do usually. It's hard to find out. Neither does YouTube. But there's ways to take care of those people. Your Facebook page is your house. And if someone comes into your house and starts getting into your things and throwing things around and destroying your property, what are you going to do? You're going to throw them out. So if a person is totally horrible and wrong, I'm going to throw them out. Sometimes I give them a warning. Sometimes I don't. But I pray about it. And God wants us to have that strength. He gives us strength to spread the good news, and he also gives us the full armor of God, and we have to use it. So that's some advice I have.
Thank you, Renee.
And I'll just make one more comment. Sorry to sort of edge in here. Another thing that Dad and I discuss all the time, we've got to put both references for all our brothers and sisters in all the restoration.
Because we're all one.
Yeah, we're all one. And I find it lacks. It's very lacking in some of the documents we get. And
RLDS and LDS references.
Yeah, we've got to remember that we're all one. The restoration is all one. And this is something that needs to be discussed and
applied.
Yeah, I try and do it with everything that I, every scripture I look at, I always put both references, because you never know who's going to look at that. You never know. Anyway, thank you.
I think that's a great idea. I really like you mentioning that, because one thing also, if we're, let's say me as an LDS person, if I'm posting something on my Facebook with an LDS scripture quote, and I also put the RLDS scripture quote, maybe it will help my other LDS friends know that RLDS isn't all that bad, you know, and that they're worth, you know, because we've been so conditioned. I love that. Thank you for bringing that up. Excellent.
Lisa, can I make one quick comment?
Yes, please.
This has been very interesting, and especially appreciate those comments made by Renee there, because it prompted me to look at the Book of Mormon again. And something I've often thought about over the years is this idea that there shall be just two churches in the last time. okay, and that the people of God would be gathered out. The power of the Lamb of God, reading from the Book of Mormon, will descend upon the saints of the Church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which are scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God and great glory. And so we're making our efforts to reach out. My feeling is that the Lord is going to intervene. And we've seen, I've just read some articles this week about the churches being brought together, LDS Church and the Catholic Church and the ecumenical movement and the Protestant churches all being gathered. And it just struck me as all these churches are being gathered together and they're unifying their doctrine, but it's not the doctrine of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it is the scattering of small groups of people. And I believe that I am coming to the feeling that this power of God is going to descend upon these people. And the people who are seeking light and truth, like these small groups that we participate in, are going to be gathered out by the miraculous power of God. And then we are going to be part of that effort as these people begin to emerge as these end time events unfold. And so I just want to encourage people, you know, hey, it is you working, and it's those prayers that you give. Don't underestimate the power of those things. You're sending out that energy. That is where the power is. It's not necessarily something you may post on Facebook, but that could be important about getting the message out. But it's sending out that energy of love and light into the work of the Lord. And then these people will be gathered. It's going to happen. Okay, and I believe that this group is part of what that is all about. It's unfolding. Okay, sorry for my 2 cents there.
Oh, don't be sorry for that, Bill. Speak up more often. Good point. I just love that. It's a good reminder. There are only, save 2 churches. And which side are we on? And to be, just rejoice in that. I love it. Okay, so think about what have you been inspired to do from the words that have been shared today. What have you been, and we don't have to say, but just think in your mind, what's your next step? You know, maybe it's like, oh, I need to go post this article or I need to talk to this person. You've all been given that inspiration. Bill?
Okay. Yeah. This is my experience. Okay. So I've been searching these things, these records. Lisa, I feel that I have been so blessed to come into contact with people like you and Steve Woodby and others and Russell who I have learned from. And so what happened was I retired and I was studying and I felt like there were changes taking place in myself. The change begins within yourself. And then what happened was I was called back to work and I went back to my work and they asked me why I was coming back to work. And I started sharing my experiences and my stories with people. And, you know, my position, I have a pretty high level position. And so I come in contact with a lot of people. I haven't talked anything necessarily directly about the gospel or the restoration or those kind of, but I have tried to just express love to these people, just loving them like the Savior would, meeting them where they are. And I feel like that is the work that I'm doing. And things happened over the last few weeks that were surprising. People were in these intense conflicts with one another and we were able to unravel these things. And so this is how I feel. Perhaps the work is really, it's about that unconditional sharing of that love, reaching out as the Savior would reach out in whatever circuit. And it's happening now. When I just go to the supermarket, you know, some lady, I had one small thing and I said, well, you must be an angel or a saint. I said to this lady, it just came out of my mouth. And I was just trying to be, you know, some people don't react to that, but some people do. And so I'm just telling you, that's been my experience. And suddenly I find myself in a situation where I'm interacting with a lot of people. And every situation I go into this,
I'm going to bring a spirit of love and try to let that person feel that love. Okay, that's it. That's my two cents.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all what the sealed book is about.
Yep.
Those things.
So those of us who don't feel comfortable trying to do social media, I'm happy that I can just turn the computer on and you guys have to help me figure out how to share things. But so just exactly what Bill said, just being a light in the darkness to people, sharing the love, and God is going to do the rest, and being excited about who we are and what we have to share, and being willing to open our mouths and do something for the Lord. Sometimes it's not, it's the fact that we want to love the Lord and do our part that just makes us bubble over and say things to people, uplift them in some way, just by talking to them and being kind. Kindness goes a long ways. So yes, we can do it on social media, or we can just do it individually, being willing to share our love with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I think we should go ahead and close the recording, stop the recording, but I just appreciate the spirit I felt and each of your comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Great job. We will now stop the recording.